Your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalm chapter 17. Psalm 17. Psalm 17 here, we'll look at God's word this morning. Let's read it. The Bible says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed in my mouth. I shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thine of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who can pass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." As we move on into the study, through our study here in Psalms, and we come to chapter 17, if you notice before the first verse, there's most Bibles will have a heading there. It simply says a prayer of David. Many of what we've studied already are Psalms of David. Some of them were prayers, but most of them were Psalms or a song of David. This is a prayer of David. As I read and study through this, I don't see a whole lot of difference between the two, but nonetheless, the heading's there. I'm not going to argue whether it should be there or not, but you know, it fit today as I was studying, preparing for this. I didn't know, I don't always have a title for what we're going through, but sometimes I do, but this one, simply I just entitled it A Prayer of David. And as we look at this throughout this psalm, we see it's very fervent, earnest, and a believing prayer. There's a whole lot of passion of David in this prayer, and we'll get into that more as we look into the points. It was evidently uttered in the view of danger arising from the designs of his enemy, the number and designs of his enemies. It's this prayer come about because of the enemy surrounding David. We'll see that later as well, but many of the prayers that come about by David were because of the enemies compassing him. There are many occasions in David's life that he could have prayed this prayer. Dangers frequently beset David in his life. The Bible says he was a man of war. There's a lot of danger in that. You know, as you look through these and study these, and many times I'll say, you know, we don't really face what David faced. That physical danger, we don't face that much. We may one day, but we don't really face that much. But we know we learn by reading the Psalms what he went through and the dangers he went through. And, you know, if you can look at someone that's went through something that's far worse than you will ever go through or you think you'll ever go through, and you look at what you're going through at that point and you follow that example, whether it's another Christian or another, example in the Word of God, and you see that and you say, you know what? God helped them through that. He can help me through what I'm going through. You know, we may never face the sword in the way or the threats of our lives as David did, but we may. You never know. But you can like make the application to your life. Whatever you're going through, think about something that David went through or other men of God in the Bible or women of God and what they went through. And we can look at that and use them. The Bible says use them as examples. But David went through a lot of these things. At these times, he often poured out his heart to God in the time of need. And that, too, we also need to do. Who the enemies are is not actually revealed to us. All we know is that they were, according to verse 9, they were deadly or bitter foes. They were prosperous in this world. They were proud and proud of it, verses 9 and 10. They were fierce and greedy, like a lion hunting for his prey, in verse 12. They were men whose families were affluent and men who lived for this world. Those were those in this psalm that we see who would afflict David or oppress him. I'm reminded what the Bible says in concerning them here in this, in verse 14. It talks about how much they have and how they've got so much that they just pass it on. They pass it down because they can't spend it all. But I'm reminded what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" As we look into Psalm 17 this morning, here we're going to look at five different things. We'll get as far as the Lord lets us go here, but I've got five different things I want to see about the prayer of David. The first thing we want to look at is the cry in David's prayer. That's found in verses 1 through 3. The Bible says here, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, and let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." We see David's cry here to start out with. We see urgency in his cry. It says here in verse 1, he says, "Hear the right, O Lord." There's an urgency there that you don't always see in David's prayers. If you look back to Psalm chapter 5, right there in Psalms, turn back to Psalm chapter 5, there's different prayers, different ways that David approaches the Lord, whether it's a psalm or a prayer. I think many of the psalms were actually prayers, so to speak, as David would speak them or sing them. In Psalm chapter 1, he said, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation." That doesn't seem quite the same as it does in 17 and verse 1, where he says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry." It doesn't seem, you don't see the urgency in Psalm chapter 5 as you see there. If you turn over to Psalm chapter 10, In the first verse, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? This seems a little bit more concerning, but still, it's not the same as he says here in Psalm chapter 17, where he says, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth out of feigned lips. David, there was an urgency in his cry here in Psalm chapter 7 and verse 1. David said there, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. That's more like what David's saying in chapter 17 and verse 1. There's a more urgent cry there. If you turn over to chapter 43 of Psalms, it says here in 43, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against the ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust men. Very similar to what David is asking the Lord back in Psalm 17 and verse 1. There's urgency. And sometimes in our prayers, some are more urgent than others. Many times I find myself praying the same thing over and over. Is that repetition? Yeah, I guess you would say it is. But, you know, my prayer in the morning when I'm sitting down and spending some time with the Lord and in his word, my prayer in the morning for the most part is me communing with God and just talking to him and asking him, you know, thanking him, first off, thanking him for what he's done in my life and what he's done for me and how he's provided and his blessings upon me. I pray for protection, for a hedge about my family. I pray for my children that are already married, their families, hedges about them. I pray for the sick, those that are in need that have sickness. There's many things I pray for that are sort of repetitious, but you know, there's certain times in my life where it's urgent. I mean, it's an urgent prayer, an earnest request, and we see that with David here. There's some times that it's just urgent, and you know, I use Mason for an example many times, and God has given him to us, and he's allowed him to go through and us to go through what we went through. But you know, there was a time when the evening where he got hurt, and we spent so many hours waiting for them to come out, when he spent so much time there in the emergency room and the trauma department there at Hopkins, and everything he went through, you know. And when he finally came out, and I don't say this to make me more than anybody else, I'm not, but they came out, they pulled us in this little, well, they had us in this little room, and we were in there with, I think, Angie's parents were in there, and I don't remember who else. I'm pretty sure Pastor Cobins and Justin were there. Maybe some others, but they came in and kind of gave us a summary of what was going on, and you know, it was urgent for us to pray. And so before the doctors and nurses could ever even get out, and I remember there was a chaplain in there with us. You know, they have the chaplains at the hospital, and this was a nice guy. I think he meant well, and not totally sure about his standing, but we did get to talk to him over time. But nonetheless, there was an urgency when they got done, and I didn't wait for anybody to leave. Now, we had been praying. We had been praying for hours, but I hit my knees and started calling on God out loud amidst the whole crowd. And I believe my father-in-law, I believe he prayed too, and Pastor Comas. But, you know, it didn't matter who was there. It didn't matter who was in that room, and those people just stood still. And they knew we were calling on God, but what? It was an urgency. David, there's an urgency here in his prayer. Now, this is a total different situation with David. David's got enemies after him. But our prayers, you know, there's times they're going to be urgent. And our call, our cry out to God should be different when there's an urgent prayer. And, you know, you need to be able to get a hold of God when there's an urgent need. You know, sometimes we get sideways we allow sin to creep into our lives, and the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Have you ever been caught at an urgent time when you knew that there was iniquity in your heart? Have you ever, I know you men have done this, most of you would admit to it, the rest of you just would lie. But you ever have a pastor calling you to pray, and you just got in here, maybe it's a Wednesday night or something, and you got, you know, the day at work wasn't the greatest, and you got home and, you know, supper was burnt and the kids were crying and, you know, the vehicle, you know, there's troubles or everything is against you coming to the house of God. It seems like it's just all war getting here, and you just want to come in, and you just want to sit down in your pew, down in your pew, and just ask, hoping that God will help you. But there was, you know, you didn't react to those things right. Therefore, there was sin, and you regarded them in your heart, and pastor goes, you're it, Steve. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer tonight? And, you know, I am picking on Steve, but, you know, when all that happens, where there's an urgency all of a sudden, there's a pause. I'll give myself away. Y'all can listen to me if you want to. It's fine. But if pastor calls on me to pray and there's a pause before I do, it's because all of a sudden things got to be made right. It's important to me that when we pray that we're right with God. Now, that's amongst ourselves. But, you know, we can just be out about our daily business and sin gets in our lives and something comes up and it's urgent. Maybe you get that phone call, you get a text, you get something that urgent. There's an urgent prayer and you get caught. You get caught unaware, and there's an urgent prayer, but if you've got sin in your life, you just can't. You got to take care of that first. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I think, you know, we should be ready. We should always be ready for that urgent thing that comes up in our lives. Our lives should always be right with God. Now, I know, as well as you know, we live in this flesh, and it gets ugly sometimes, and you know, your own worst enemy, you look at him in the mirror every morning. But we need to be right with God. We need to be ready for that time when there's urgency in our prayer. I don't see David here in verse 1. I don't see him saying, hear the right, O Lord. Wait a minute. I know you're not hearing me because I've done this, I've done that. I've sinned against you. I need to confess my sin, Lord. You said, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know that's New Testament, but you don't see David saying that. I think David was right with God. And an urgent request came up. And he says, hear the right, O Lord. Attend to my prayer. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips, deceitful lips. Don't let our lips be deceitful. Let everything we say be to honor the Lord. There's not only an urgency in the cry, but number two, there's the verdict in the cry. We see that here in these first three verses. He says here in verse 2, it says, "Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal." He says, "Let my sentence come forth." His sentence or his verdict, let that come forth. Turn it in your Bibles over to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37, one of my favorite passages. One of my favorite psalms, but one of my favorite passages at the beginning here, thinking about the verdict or the sentence that David is presenting to the Lord. Read that again. "Let my sentence come forth from thy presence." David's saying, "Look, Lord, I'm presenting this to you, and Lord, hear my cry, hear my prayer, and let it come forth, and let thy eyes behold the things that are equal." But if we look over here in Psalm 37, verse 1 and following, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Think about David, where he's at in Psalm chapter 17 with the wicked ones surrounding him. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb." This, again, is a psalm of David, but yet think about what David could have had in his heart back here as he asked for his sentence to come forth. He said, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, for fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." David's saying here in Psalm 37, what I can see back here in Psalm 17 and verse 2, he's saying, let my sentence come forth. But I think he's reminded, now I don't know how these psalms came out and how they were put in this exact order, but you know, a man of God, a man after God's own heart, as David was, he had these things in his heart there in Psalm 37 as well as in 17. And, you know, God wanted him to trust in him. He wanted David to know that the sentence that was to come forth was the fact that God was going to take care of the evildoers. He was going to take care of them, and God was going to take care of David as well. There's the verdict in the cry. And number three, then, there's a persuasion in the cry. It says, in verse 3, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." In David's prayer here, in his cry to the Lord, we see him persuading the Lord, so to speak. We see him saying to the Lord, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Lord, you're the one who's proved my heart. It's not man that has proved my heart, but Lord, you have proved my heart." And again, keep in context here, he's begging God. He's trying to bend God's ear here in this situation. And so he persuades him. He says, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night." You know, "Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me." Many things that the Lord has done for him. Lord has visited him in the night seasons. He's tried him. He said, "And shall find nothing." I wonder sometimes as we read this and as I studied it, I wondered to myself, can I say that? Can I say that with David? Can I say that to the Lord, "Thou hast proved mine heart"? I think there's many times in my life where God has proved my heart and my will and according, you know, line my will up with his will. And I know that there's many times he's done this, but I think about the times maybe he's tried it and I wasn't successful on my end. I didn't follow through like he wanted me to. "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night." I know that he's visited me in the night before. And I know that he's tried me, just like David says that he's done for him. David says to the Lord, "Thou shalt find nothing." Can we say with David that as God proves their heart, as he visits us in the night, as he tries us, that he will find nothing? Or is there something that he can find? Is there something wrong? Is there something that's not matching up with his word and his way and his will in our lives? David said, "Thou shalt find nothing." Why? "I have purposed in my mouth. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." You know, most of what we mess up with comes right out here. You know, I can be thinking evil thoughts about you. I'm not, but I could be, and you wouldn't really know it. You know, maybe I ignore you, or maybe I give you a bad look as I walk by, or something like that. And you say, "Brother, what's wrong? Something wrong?" You know. But you wouldn't know. You don't know what's in here. You're not God. But God knows our hearts, and he knows our minds, and he knows what's going on. But if I come to you and just open up the pie hole and just let you know how I feel. Now, I don't have nothing against you, Tracy. I don't. I'm just using an example. Then I would be transgressing with my mouth. But David says here, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. You know, we can learn a lot from David. My father used to say, if you'd say something that you shouldn't, he said many different things, but one thing I remember, he'd say, "You know, little boys are made to be seen and not heard." And I as a little kid, I often wondered about that, you know. But it would be because of something I was running my yap about that I shouldn't have. Something, maybe I said something I shouldn't have said. But think about it as what David says here. We'll just finish up with this. We got a couple more verses to read here, but I want you to think about this today. We got much more to go through in this psalm, but the fact that it says, "I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I am, that's personal. Purposed, that's the action. You got a purpose in your heart. Just like last week, we were talking about prayer and spending time with God in prayer, and I said that years ago, I purposed in my heart to take time every morning and spend in God's word and spend in prayer. That means getting up earlier and spending time with him before I get to work, go to work. And you say, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I get up too early. You just got a purpose in your heart to do it. I've had many different start times on jobs I've had over the years. That just came up in a conversation at work this week with someone. And, you know, I had one job where when I was driving the truck that I left, I got up at 1 o'clock in the morning and left at 2. But I purposed in my heart that I was going to spend some time with God before I got out the door. We need to purpose in our heart here as well. That's concerning prayer. But David's here is talking about what comes out the mouth. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. That's not talking about cussing and everything else. We shouldn't do that. That shouldn't come out of our mouths as a Christian. God, clean up your conversation. If you've had a filthy mouth and you get saved, you trust the Lord as your Savior, he will clean up your conversation. He cleaned up mine, and I was only 16 years old, but I had already started to get that filth coming out of my mouth, and he cleaned up that. And if something came out of my mouth after that, after I got saved, boy, the Holy Spirit would be like, yeah, what you ought to be saying? What I had to learn. I had to learn, and God gave me the Spirit of God to teach me those things. Nonetheless, we should purpose in our heart. We should purpose that our mouth will not transgress quickly or out of time. Let's turn to Psalm 139, and we'll be done. And the time goes fast up here. Famous chapter many times been preached out of here. I'm going to read the first 6 verses and we'll be done. The Bible says here, now think about this, as we purpose in our heart that our mouth will not transgress, a purpose in our lives that we will not transgress with our mouth. It says, O Lord, verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Hey, when we're going to transgress, when that comes out of our mouth, the Lord already knows. He already knows what you're going to say. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. You can read the rest of the psalm this afternoon as you get home. You read the rest of that psalm, and talks about God proving him. Again, a psalm of David there. But what do you say again back in chapter 17? And the end of verse 3, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Very important introduction to David's prayer as he cries unto the Lord here. The fact that he says things such as, Lord, I want you to hear, and I want you to know that it's coming from clean lips. And I want the sentence to come forth. I want the verdict to be for right. But he says here, you're the one that proves me. You've proved my heart. You've visited me in the night. You've tried me. And you found nothing. Why? because I purposed in my mouth that I shall not transgress. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time we've had in your word. I pray that you bless Pastor now as he comes. Give him the words he needs to say. I pray for everyone that's here, Lord. I pray that you speak to hearts, bless and guide in the service today. In Jesus' name, amen.